Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Friday the 10th of July, this day will never ever come again, and you're in tune to the one and only Sweet Talking Sport, which is straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, with both interviews to an audience that fit today's modern day society devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether that is local or national. Good to go on air, expansive debate analysed by myself this evening as part of your regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talk sports chat show radio. Yeah, you know, just thought I'd get that in there just for measure. On Point, you can listen most Fridays from 6 till 7, and if you miss it, you can catch it up through the archives. Yeah, the Arrows busting out this one in high energy soca style to soak up the evening. Yeah, I think this was released back in what, early 80s, probably something like 1983, I do believe. The Arrows, yeah, feeling hot, 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 and it's hot, yes sir, right in the studio. Hold tight, people. So, you know, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening out there. But if you are, you know, just keep it to your damn self. Yeah, and be of yourself. We're going to jump straight in on this one. I want to talk about Usyk, really. And we'll throw Deontay Wilder in there. Yes, you've guessed it. You've guessed it right. Because it looks like, so these two are going to get in the ring for a tear-up. But before we kind of go through that, obviously, Usyk gave up his belt, vacated it. Let's use the right kind of like terminology. You know what I mean? Even though it is hot. Yeah? So, what did he give up? He gave up his WBA, the IBF, and he's flinging the WBO too, right? Because the reason being, Usyk seen an opportunity, yeah, for him to be in control. What does that mean? That means that he can negotiate his purse and all that kind of something there. For his retirement, he can dictate his path, which it does avoid so-called pressures of sort of like, you know, having mandatory fights. Because like, say for example, the WBA board would say, do you know what, you've got to fight Sweet next, yeah, and Usyk might not be ready for a fight like that. You get me? So what I'm saying is that if you kind of say, all right, I'll tell you what, the best way for me to deal with this right now is to vacate, pull up and pull out. So take your belt then, undisputed. I think he's what? Something like 25 scraps unbeaten anyway. So he's got absolutely nothing to prove. More money than rice. Yeah? We're not talking about Declan Rice. We're talking about rice. Yeah, like say when you fling a peas with it, or you mix it up with our chicken, you know, panasonde, twice panasonde, I should say, right? So he's kind of like deliberately gave them up. Is that a smart business move? Is it greed or is it stupidness? I think it just depends on which side of the camp, you know. Hence, he's got no dictatorship. He's got nobody dictating to him to say, you have to defend this one now, yeah? And we're calling up this man, yeah, so, to defend it. I'll just use me, myself, as an example. So it's got none of that. No background noise ever. You know, and, you know, guess what they say? Money talks, right? But now, I rate Usyk. I rate him. And Wilder, yeah, I still have respect for him too. The Bronze Bomber, or the Bomb Squad. Yeah, whichever way you look at Wilder, is it a top draw scrap for the armchair fans? Of course. But if you had the con and, you know, you had that time off work, or you was off sick or something, and you decide to sneak the fight, would you go? Would you go and watch that? Is it just going to be another pantomime business? Yeah. Well, this fight, let's talk to this fight by Zuffa Boxing. And we've mentioned Zuffa on the show before, but let's just kind of like have a recap, yeah, of kind of like what Zuffa Boxing is all about. Well, is it professional? Yes, it is. Is it founded by Dana White? Yeah. As Turki Alashik flinging some corn? Yeah, we have three yeses, all in the same boat. So this venture between the two of them, and I believe there's other silent partners involved who will remain, of course, silent. So you're talking about TKO. Basically, every boxing fan will know that's a technical KO, which is their group holding, backed by the purse strings, Saudi. It aims to reshape boxing. That's what they say. That's how they're dressing up Zoltan. Dress it up by all means. They hope to apply a more kind of centralized, yeah, UFC style league model, featuring, you know, exclusive contracts. It owns the world championships of top tier cross promotion bouts. So the league model, which I just mentioned a bit ago, Zuffa Boxing centralizes fights, contracts, matchmaking and titles, bypassing the traditional open promotional system. Yeah, rankings and titles. The promotion features its own world title and uses the Ring Magazine rankings to determine top contenders. So they're not saying, do you know what, let's try to reinvent the wheel. Why should they do that when the wheel's already invented? You know what I mean? So Ring is they're big for rankings and that. They're out there, probably the best. Ring Magazine determine the top contenders. So all they need to do is just, you know, go up online, Ring Magazine, and look who's next in line. It's as simple as that. Media rights. Now, the events are streamed in the US. You know, they're selected on CBS in the UK. Cards are broadcasted also on Sky. So, yeah, it's a proper setup thing. Like I say, Dana White's involved. The COE of UFC Style. He's the CEO, you know. So basically, you know, the Saudi or Ali Sheikh has thrown some corn in at the pot, yeah, it's making noise, and they're signing up people, and they must sign them up. They're saying, listen, come over and we'll pay you this, yeah. So boxers are getting tempted, hence the man called Conor Benn, Nige's youth. I remember after a fight, Nigel said, listen, me now better come back and support him. He's old enough now, I can support himself. Maybe Nigel knew about this and thought, you know what, I'd prefer, if Nigel probably said to him, listen, if it was me, I would be wanting to, you know, challenge for them belts, which I mentioned, you know, previously. You know, the WBO and the IBF, yeah. So that is probably how Nigel did see it. Connor's probably, his head's probably got turned, you know, by the Khan and said, look, Pops, you've made your Khan, give me that opportunity to make mine. And Nigel said, listen, me now about to fly over from Australia every time you put on your glove, yeah. You're old enough to bang him out yourself now, so maybe that's what sorted that out, yeah. So like I said, Zuffa, I've claimed Conor Benn. They bought him, he's on board, he's bought the ticket. Basically what Zuffa again is about, yeah, because it's important that other people get this. Because when it gets large or extra large, what's Zuffa? People are like, what's Zuffa boxing? You know what I mean? Well, you can tune in, Yasso, and I'll tell you. Basically, it unifies one champion. So you don't have the IBF, the WBO, yeah? You don't have them kind of like them dudes, you know, and the IBF and WBA and WBO kind of like having all heap of different champions, yeah. And soon have KFC champ as well in there too, to see how much chicken back you can yam. You know what I mean? So this is what I'm saying. Is boxing getting a little bit stupid? Well, that's open to interpretation, isn't it, really? And it's how you feel about it. I think there's something that probably need to hear, really. Where's this thing, man? Soon catch it, yeah. Alright, soon come with it now. Alright, here it is, yeah, all this.
I never said I'm the man to fix it, I said boxing is broken. Other people have said I'm the man to fix it, up worse, believe me. So I'm not so arrogant as to say that I'm the guy that's going to fix it. I've talked a lot of smack about boxing over the last 30 years, and now here I am. So
let's look at the last few years. We've had undisputed title fights, we've had big showdowns.
There were guys out there much bigger than the UFC at that time. You know, I didn't focus on that. I focused on what I wanted to do and what I wanted to build. You know, a lot of people have talked smack to me for many, many years. They're all gone.
So, you know, is it broken? Is it mash up? Is it just like, you know, another little kind of like side thing? Somebody's kind of obviously sat down, had a lot of time on their hands, and thought, yeah, I've got an idea. We can look at the traditional boxing model, and we can develop our own. And you know, I'm not knocking Dana or Turks. Yeah, good luck to them, because like they're pulling up trees right now, with a big kind of guys on the scene, and hence Usyk now, head's been turned. Management team have said, listen, this path here now is how it's looking. Imagine your the pops of heavyweight boxing, unbeaten in 25 fights. You remain that, fling your belts in, and you can still make your con without getting touched, without getting the pressures of, you know, we've got a 6 weeks camp coming up. Tell you the truth, who would want them pressures when you've got absolutely nothing to prove and everything to earn? Yeah? You know, you don't even need to take your car to the bank. It just gets transferred straight. And it's probably his missus who's probably his accountant. Yeah. Yes, that's gone in. It's another payday, you could say. So let's get to this scrap. To my knowledge, there's been no date fixed. But, I mean, Usyk, 39, is he knocking on? Is that what you consider old? Well, I tell you what. What they class as old in this day and age, I'll define this by the social services. They class 65 as being old. So those who are 65 and beyond, your class is old. Yeah? Some of you will be in the departure lounge. Yeah? Just waiting. And then them who are under 65, we're not no spring chicken, but we have to live. We have to live life still. Live the life you love and love the life you live. Yeah? That's what I say about that. So you see, yeah, 39, 25 scraps, unbeaten. Definitely one of the greats. I say that with, you know, no disrespect to anybody else. And remember, I said definitely one of. I didn't say he was the great. I said one of. Yeah, so before you pull me up, you pull up yourself. Yeah? So, his opponent now, Wilder. Now, I rated Wilder. Rated him. Yeah? Twice pan weekend too. But I think now, might spoil himself a little bit. Yeah? And the reason why I said that, because him entered the pantomime world. He won't fight anybody and everybody. For him, it's a business transaction. He's drawing in the con. Yeah? And he might showboat a couple of lefts and rights in there. And quite rightly, he should do. Yeah? So, on his day, Brom's bomber, devastating. Put people to sleep. Yeah? And when he fought Tyson that time, lick him down. And this is why sometimes I just go off boxing, because that referee, he must have been counting like this. One. Two. That ain't good for the sport. Come on, everybody. Yeah, everybody can see that. The nation can see it. Yeah? Just pure bandoli business, and I don't stand for that. I don't stand for them kind of fake people then. You know what I mean? Now, if the count was true to form, one, two, three, you know who's won that? Bronze Bomber. Yeah? No problem. He's won it. But unfortunately, past is best. That will happen to everybody. You're going to have to slow down. Yeah? Through age. Yeah? A natural thing. Yeah? And then when you're not past your best, you're ready. Ready for anybody. You hear the man, yeah, fight anybody. I'm ready. Just tell me when I'm ready. Yeah? But when you're past your best now, that's when people will, you know, probably start show stopping. Yeah? They can probably start show stopping their stuff. So, and I do say that with a heavy heart, past his best, because like I said, on his day, boom, absolutely devastating dude, put them asleep, yeah? But, would I say that to his face? Let me think about it. Well, actually, I've just thought about it. Crazy? You daft? But obviously for the purpose of, you know, broadcasting, I'm just letting you know how it is. Yeah? Not kind of sugarcoat nothing today. No, sir. That's something that now happen. Not on this shift. Yeah? So, you know, your boxing fans out there, you need to kind of like listen up for this one, you know, and draw your own conclusion, yeah? Usyk Suri stated that he sees Wilder as his opponent for his last dance. So he said that, I want my last dance with him. You know what I mean? Because don't forget you got them a tumor boy there. You know, the youth boy. Dangerous. High energy. There's a lot at stake. Like, Wilder's reputation. Yeah? At stake. So forget if his butt gets whooped by, you know, a Tommy. What happens next? So, yeah. You can call them out, and that's part and part of the party, you know. And no doubt Wilder will be saying, bring on Usyk, yeah, I'm gonna bomb him, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. So Usyk gets in touch with the fever and he's on it. Usyk saying the same thing, yeah, that is my last dance, you know. So promoted by Zuffa Boxing, with Usyk potentially lining up one last dance with a guy who's already named. Backed by the Saudi Foundation. So it's not a kind of a direct thing, but yeah, it looks more likely that this could happen. Yeah. Listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's Friday the 10th, 18:24 and counting. Just me one, but you know, I'm going to be joining the troops then shortly, paying respect to the man called T, you know. Big dude, yeah, sadly missed. T, yeah man, respect. So I'm going to flip it now, and yeah, we all know what's dominating our TV screens. It's either tennis, you know, when you're watching one of the greats, Blazer Ace, or you're watching a bit of teething from FIFA, and it's rigged with it, but Should we be surprised? I don't think so. I don't think we should really be surprised. We all know what it's about and stuff. But we're just going to unpick a few things. So, is the World Cup fixed or rigged or banduli business agwan? Is it just a case of hill and gullah rider tactics? Yeah? It's like, so when you say to somebody, you know, shut that door. And because they don't want to have that conversation, them take foot and gone. Yeah? And they say, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, you face a fire. But if you've got something to hide, then absence tells a different story out there. Yeah? So, I mean, you know, we're looking at different conspiracy theories. Or is it just kind of like, you know, an emotion mixed with reality? People see it different. People are entitled to their own opinion. So, subjective, based on, you know, one's, what, personal feelings, personal opinion. Like I said, people are entirely entitled to their own opinions. Or do we say objectively, which is based purely on fact, not opinion? I think the simple way to unwrap that, yeah, simple way to unwrap that, to remember about subjective or objective, is, let's say the captain, yeah, my Wednesday fan, right? He might say, yo, Wednesday is boss. They're the best team in South Yorkshire, them this and them that. Yeah? So that's his version of subjectively his opinion. Now, I might counteract that and I might say, listen, but them not EFL League One, yeah? Which is fact. So Mo's coming out with his opinion and I'm coming out with fact. I'm dropping on his bonfire and putting him in his place. And if we've got enough time at the end, we'll kind of like discuss a little bit more about what's going on kind of locally. Another example could be Captain Mike buy a coffee from Hillsborough and say, yo, this coffee is bad. I might want to buy a Bovril or something. And I might say, yo, but them £5, innit? So he's coming out with his opinion and I'm coming out with fact. Yeah? Fact. EFL League One. Yeah? And you have what? 46 games to get 70 points plus to come out, because you're now guaranteed that. So hold your corner, captain, and hold your cap tight on your head. Yeah? You know, I mean, talking about, is the World Cup rigged? Is there some teething going off there? Is it fixed? Banduli business agwan? Or even, is it hill and gully rider tactics? Yeah? Whichever way you look at it. Opinion? Subjectively? Or is it a fact? If I'm saying it's a fact, then people say, where's the proof? Well, maybe I'll unpick some of that right now. You know, you've got to look at, you know, Messi, and I've said this before on a previous show. Yes, Argentina dealt 3-0, beat Algeria 3-0. Messi hat-trick, remember? And Messi re-cup this guy's panning back leg. Yeah? Was a foul given? No. Did did VAR intervene? No. Was it deemed as sending off, red card? Are we looking at, depends, someone might say depends how you're looking at it. Are you looking at it subjectively or objectively? But you know what? Red card all day long, because you wouldn't get so many pundits in uproar saying that's a red card. Yeah? Is their president set to the world champion? Does the referee feel a little bit pressured to say, you know, I'll let that one go? Maybe. Is Infantino, is he up for a bribe? Well, he's the figurehead, the top figurehead for the FIFA FA, isn't it? Him take the car from Trump. Well, we'll go into that in a little bit. So all you can. Yeah? So just put that on the shelf a minute. Argentina v Algeria. I know it's done. I know Messi got his hat trick. Yeah? Bypassed the red card, should have been sent off. And then we've got Argentina against Egypt. So is Argentina, innit? Some more teeth in business Aguan. Like I said, let me, you know, remind a few people what this is about. You know, I've asked you to think about this one. You know, whether you want to think subjectively or objectively. Yeah? Is the World Cup rigged? That's what I'm asking. Is it Bandoola business Aguan? That's what I'm asking. Is it Hill and Gully Rider tactics out there? Yeah? You know? So, yeah, Argentina 3, Egypt 2. Disallowed goal. And it's not the... It's not just the kind of way how it got pulled up, the geography. It was clear well into Egypt's own half. Referee didn't see it as a foul, but he got a nudge, didn't he, from VAR. Oh, how interesting is that? Yeah, how interesting is that? Actually, ref, we've got something for you. We need to have a look at this. Come to the screen, mate, and we'll kind of like, we'll play you a little kind of recording of how it were. Yes, I think it was a foul, but it was a very, very cheap one. We've seen less given for that in different area. If that was in the penalty area, would that have been a penalty? Probably not, because you know what the pundits say? It's not enough for me that, yes, he leans on him. Yes, he's tugged his shirt, but he's gone down too easy. Well, they say if you put your hands on somebody in that area, it's a foul. Well, that should, surely that should be the same anywhere else on the pitch, whether that's in the area. Why should it matter even more in the area? Because there's a penalty at stake, isn't it? Yeah. So, do you feel a bit of pittance for the Egyptians? Yeah, I think it's right to say that unlucky played a big massive role in that. And then again, you know, I'm going to draw this in again, because when England played Ghana, Konza should have got a red card, in my opinion, yes. Maybe even classed as a dangerous kind of like style of play, dangerous foul. But a red card should have been issued. But do you know what? That would have weakened England, wouldn't it? Yeah? And they potentially would have lost that game, isn't it? Oh, we can't have that. Yeah? Because, you know, we get backhanders, don't we? You know? So just kind of bear all that in mind. The level of teething going on is crazy. So And again, I want you, I'm going to draw your attention to the African nations national teams. I think there was about 10 African nations representing Africa, you could say, which is absolutely massive. But what's going on? Why are they just coming out straight? Yeah? Am I having a backbone, or is it because of the teeth in what FIFA have said that we can't have these sides going through? Not on my shift or whatever. Maybe some of that has been going off. I'm not saying it has. I'm just saying maybe. Yeah? Maybe. But we've got a large African nation pool, and that shows where football is, you know, that things have grown. Yeah, I mean, historically, African nation side underrepresents, but, you know, they've got the talent now. FIFA Members Association has seen a shift. And this was what? A world record of 10 nations getting qualifying spots. That's like achieving what? 90% group stage progression rate? Wicked. It's absolutely wicked. But why do the wilt? Why are they kind of wilting at the 11th hour? Yeah, is it fair to say that they're not designed to get that far? You know, I think that's worth a conversation, isn't it? In itself, yeah. So, and then, you know, we're sticking to this path. I'm saying, is the World Cup rigged? Yeah, is it fixed? Bandoola business, Hillingola Rider, tactics going off in the background. And then obviously we get Mr. Trump joining in on the act. Yeah? So this is what Donald had to say. Wallace.
I think it's a terrible, if they wouldn't allow, you know, a top player, maybe the best, maybe among the best players on the team to play, I think it would have had a big stain. And I related just that feeling. I didn't tell him what to do. I can't tell him what to do. But and I don't believe he made the decision. I think it was a committee that made the decision. And they made the right decision because, number one, it wasn't a foul. And you want to see a game with your best players. You don't want to say, how would you feel if I took, we take Messi out? He ran into somebody.
Well, he should have been out, shouldn't he? Against Algeria, a red card.
He bumped into somebody. We're going to take you out of a game. He's great. Well, Harry Kane, we're going to take you out of the game, Harry, because you happen to hit somebody a little bit harder than... You can't do that. If you would have taken him out, I think it would have really stained this incredible champion. We got to have our
well,
best
Donald,
players.
Are you staying it up?
Belgium's got a great team.
So stop the noise.
We got to have our best players, and they have to have their best. And if we win or we lose, it's fair. Otherwise, let's say we lost him and we lose the game. It would be a terrible thing. So I think they made a really brilliant decision. I think the referee's call was horrible. And nobody talks about that. They talk about the red card like it's fine. Nobody talks. The referee's decision to red card. I didn't know what the hell a red card was. When I found out, I said, you got to be kidding. This guy just had...
Donald, stop your eyes now, Chuck.
Best player's not going to play next.
Yeah. So, you get president of your nation, you know, making a phone call to Infantino, you know, the top brass of FIFA, and saying, you know, we have to talk. Yeah. And Infantino has said, well, you know, it's, you know, our FIFA, we haven't got no, you know, we haven't got any rules in our book to say that yellow cards and red cards are challenged. So Donald said, look, just name your price and stop in ice. Yeah, that's what it's about. Because when the World Cup was in Saudi, a pure backhand is a guan. We know that. We know that. Yeah? Rigged. Absolutely rigged. But then do we go back to subconsciously, objectively? Do we go back to that? You know? Subconscious bias. Just referring to the stereotypes and attitudes what people have. People will form judgments and opinion based on groups outside of their conscious awareness. It's almost like, you know, it's like the brain, how it moves rapid. It delivers a massive amount of information. So it's that quick. It just happens automatically. People will form opinions. You know what they say? Don't judge a book by the cover until you read it. You know what I mean? But we judge. We make assessments. When you look at somebody, when you see something, you make assessments, and that's part of being a human being. But cultural norms comes into it. Media plays a part. They have their representation going on in the background. You know, so there's no escaping from it. There's no escaping at all. Again, it's part of being a human, of having opinions. And that's something that will never, ever change. It'll never get away from it, yeah? Just give you examples of, you know, Argentina dubbing up Algeria 3-0. Messi should have been red carded. Nothing, no VAR business, you know? Teething at its very best. So the phone call, I mean, Trump, he blows his own trumpet. He said, yeah, me call him up. And I said, I didn't think that that was a foul or a red card and all them kind of something. You have to change your mind. That was fact. That happened. Yeah. Is there something on the African nation side? Do they get a raw deal? Is it a level playing field? Listen, Sweet Talking Sport, 18:43. And, you know, it's time for a little hydration business. Yeah, we'll have to take these. It's been filtered down from the management. You know, it's about the welfare of presenters. Soon come. Yes, guy. You know, I just had a bit of that coconut water. Original. Yeah. Can't tell it all what brand it is because I don't get paid for advertising their thing, but the coconut water, nice. Yeah, it's just like an hot deer. You have to have an ice, not you. So, where are we at? Yeah, so we're saying that African nation sides, are they getting a raw deal in this World Cup? Are they, or do they get a raw deal anyway? Yeah? Because we had mass representation, yeah, absolutely colossal. You know, they received 10 qualifying spots, 90% group stage progression rate, 90% in there. So yeah, they've kind of like exceeded expectations. But then, is there a glass ceiling? Can they only reach so high? If you've just kind of tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport 1845. We kind of like, yeah, just have a little recap. If you kind of missed the start of the show, don't worry about that. You can catch up on the archives. Yeah, just Google. Let me tell you what you have to Google. Yeah, just Google Sheffield Live. And you can go into the schedule. Yeah, Chef Live radio schedule. And you can pick it up on there, Sweet Talking Sport. Every Friday, 6 till 7, or most Fridays, I should say. Probably Yorkshire's best, Yorkshire's finest. Yeah? Now, that is my subconsciousness bias kicking in there, because I'm going to big it up. Yeah? But then, is it a fact? Yeah? Is it a fact? And what do I back that up with? Yeah? Providing entertainment for an hour. Yeah? Simples. So we discussed the boxing stuff with Usyk and Wilder. Usyk saying that I fancy Wilder for my last dance, my dancing partner, basically saying give me the money. Yeah. Then we kind of go into the reams of the World Cup, obviously dominated by the Tiffiness. You know, is it rigged? Is it fixed? Is there some banduli business going off? Or is it just a case of Hill and Gullah Rider tactics? Yeah? So, yeah, I think what I want to kind of focus on now is it kind of like, is it just pure foul play, or is it fair play? I'm asking that question, the influences by the background noises, cultural environment, and personal experiences too. All in there. Nobby Styles. Just want to go into something about Nobby Styles. So there's been a coroner inquest needed into Styles' death. So the you know, they're saying that Styles' medical report record had been examined by an expert for the court. England World Cup winner. Well, they've only won it once. That's why they've one star upon them top. Yeah? Got and win it one time, 66. And any time England play, yeah, they might say it's a call more. Well, maybe they're catching the next flight out of there. Yeah? Maybe they're going to be on that plane. Yeah? Maybe. Got to play tomorrow. Norway. So that's going to be 10 o'clock our time. So they could be coming home on Sunday. Or unless they're going to get a bit of sightseeing done. I don't think Norway that heavy, but you've got to give them the dues. Because they're there, aren't they? So, just digressing there a little bit. Let me cut back. So yeah, Nobby Styles sadly passed away at the age of 78. Former Manchester United footballer and a member of the 1966 World Cup winner. Yeah, died with the CTE, it's a chroma, which has been associated with heading. You know, heading the ball repeatedly. And back in them days, that ball was like a Casey ball, heavyweight. Sort of saying that needs to be an inquest into his death. The coroner for Greater Manchester, Salve, told the court a full inquest was needed after a brain expert examined his medical records. Styles passed away back in 2020, and his family have campaigned for football authorities to do more to help ex-players cope with injuries they sustained during their playing days. But this has fallen on deaf ears at the moment. I think when this comes up, I think they'll win this one. Styles was born in Manchester in 1942. Tough tackling defensive midfield dude. Captain England less than 30 times, we'll say, and played over 400 games, or nearly 400 games, for Man United. The Stockport coroner, for reasons not entirely clear to him, so he's admitted, he's held up his hands, Styles' death was not at the time reported. Bandula business agwan. Yeah. For investigation, which had only begun after information provided by the ex-footballer's family. That's when they decided to look at it, because the family saying, listen, we're not happy about this. You have to listen to us and you have to do something about it. And quite rightly so too. The coroner said Styles' brain had been examined by neurologists. I probably butchered that. Experts. A neuropathologist. Yeah? So I just had to correct that little slip up. Anybody can slip up. Yeah? But can you correct it when you're live? Not many people can do that. They'll just butcher it and go on about their business. But I don't work that particular way. Heading the ball, it's a serious thing. Styles' son, Johnny, previously said that the football had killed his father. Yeah? John Styles is head of the Football Families for Justice, also known as FAJ, the group which is calling for the ball authorities to do more to support ex-players. So they're saying that, you know, this will have an effect, this will form dementia, Alzheimer's. It's in them kind of camps, from repeatedly heading the ball in that particular way. It is kind of like heavy going, isn't it? Yeah, it is heavy going. So, I mean, in UK, they acknowledged that, they took it on board, and they said, you know what, we're going to step in here now, and we're going to do some preventative work. So they said, if you're 11 or under, you won't be coached to head a ball. And that came into place 2020, February 2020. So things have moved forward, probably not fast enough. It's a shame that things have kind of like progressed that much. It is a shame that we are talking about stuff like that. I was going to talk a little bit more about the World Cup stuff, but it's dominating media too much. So we'll go local. So I had a request from the captain, yeah, Captain Mo, my portly bear, is saying, what about this 35 mil? What, on a man? Oh, but it's not me, I don't owe 35 mil. It's apparently the owners who own Sheffield United now, apparently, they owe the Prince 35 mil. And the Prince is just using some professional tactics in the background. The prince is saying, do you know what? I'm going to squeeze you. So I'm going to make it public. I want my monies. Yeah? Before it get too bad. So Captain Mo asked me, and he said, you know, I want you to respond. So I did a little press conference, and I said this to the captain: I understand your disappointment and the burden of being, I'll not say the word that I put on text because it's not 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. your talk. Yeah, so we'll keep it nice and sweet for the purpose of the broadcasting. Thank you for your for standing by your team. Yeah, so this is what I've said to Captain. Yeah, after receiving some messages from him and asking me to respond. Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I'll start that again. I understand your disappointment. That's what I told him. And the burden of being a Sheffield Wednesday fan. It's a heavy shirt, Mo, to carry. The shirt's too heavy, man. You know? Thank you again. Showing some decent manners there. Yeah? They don't come out every day of the week. But Mo stood by his team. While I appreciate your genuine concern for Sheffield United FC, yeah, I'm kind of touched by Mo's concern. The club's ambitions and the efforts being made to move forward, it's important to acknowledge that there remains an outstanding obligation of 35 mil that they owe the owner, which we know and we call the Prince. Yeah, have Wednesday ever had a prince? No, I don't think they have. I think they've always been bridesmaid, haven't they? As previously stated, the figures manipulated on the back of a fag packet in a pub in Hillsborough, Essex, you know. However, may I take this opportunity to remind you. That's Mo. I'm kind of like, yeah, talking about porking him back. Yeah. That I'm saying to him that, yeah, remind him of the gap Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday have. The club represents and current position of EFL League One. Yeah, I go on to say, you know, I remain hopeful that the matter of Sheffield Wednesday of being in EFL League One can be resolved constructively and in a manner that reflects the value and the integrity expected of the club. And you, that's the captain, their number one fan. Yeah, you have 46 matches to at least accumulate a minimum of 70 plus points. That should be enough to take them in a playoff position. Yeah, I think that's fair and reasonable, proportionate assessment. Lord, hear me now. And resolution to allow everyone at Hillsborough to kind of focus on their task. And basically, like Michael Caine said, naughty neighbours, aren't they? Yeah. May I thank the captain for taking time, yeah, to listen carefully what I've had to say, and I know that's very uncomfortable. Yeah, and in fact that goes out to the captain and all Sheffield Wednesday fans. It's actually 1859. I hope you enjoyed the ride. I'm going to leave you with this few seconds. May God.